We are back with Michelle Learack, the Very Good Food Foundation, talking about meaty issues. That was a great selection there, Justin Bonanza. Who would have thunk it? Anyway, Michelle, at the break, you said you had you want to make some comments in this segment.
No, I always have to end. You know, I have to have the last word.
Something about films, right?
I wanted to say there's also a film coming out in 2017 called Kiss the Ground, a documentary film that looks at what David Bronner was talking about, which is regenerative agriculture. And it actually talks about the role that ruminant animals can play in terms of grassland restoration and also in soil sequestration. So I think, you know, that like with most things, there are many sides to a story. And I think you can hear a little bit more about the role of animals in a positive light in that film that will come out next year. Well, so watch for it.
It's all one big web, right? The bees, the soil, the plants, the animals, it's all related, right?
Yeah, sometimes we humans forget that.
Yeah.
It's hard for us.
But Michelle gets these wonderful guests from all over the country to come to her panels and do these shows. And we have two more in this segment. One is a vegan chef all the way from Los Angeles. And she's a healthy living educator and an author and media personality. Her name is Leslie Durso. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming down here.
Of course.
And also with her on this segment, we have the executive VP and certified nutrition specialist, board member of the American College of Nutrition, and a contributing author to Obesity, Epidemiology, Pathophysiology, how is that, and Prevention. Whew. And her name is Corinne Bush, who's a nurse, I think, right?
I'm a clinical nutritionist.
Oh, clinical nutritionist.
Yeah, great to be here.
Boy, Michelle, hats off to you. I don't know where you must do a lot of research.
I have a lot of webs and tentacles, it appears.
Unbelievable.
No, these are great. They're friends and friends of friends. And, you know, if we're going to talk about meat, we can't just talk about the environmental impact. We have to talk about human health.
The health impact.
How much meat? What kind of meat? Is all meat the same? Meat or no meat? These are the questions, again. Yeah. And from the human health perspective, we have two very thoughtful and informed voices, and I'm happy to have them. And their voices actually sound a lot better than mine today.
Well, Michelle just flew in from Kentucky recently, and air conditioning and different change of environments, et cetera. And so I know it's taking a little toll on your vocal cords. But in any case, this segment you wanted to focus on the human health aspect. So let's start with Leslie. Should we be eating meat at all?
It does not work for me. I stopped eating meat when I was 8 years old, and I believe that it's a personal choice to decide whether or not it's right for you. But I really encourage people to weigh all of the options. Mm-hmm. And I talk to people about listening to their bodies when they eat something, because your body speaks to you. So it's about what works for you in your system, getting your blood taken and your blood analyzed on a regular basis. And going from that perspective. But my job as a vegan chef is not to make the best vegan food for the vegan community. My job as a vegan chef is to make the best food out there, period. Mm. It's about giving people, when they have the option between meat and vegetables, to choose the vegetables because they simply taste better.
And I can definitely attest to her skills in that regard. Aww. I've been lucky enough to eat her food on more than one occasion. It is amazing.
Thank you, darling. But it's really about eating, for me, and my philosophy that I teach people is about eliminating most of, if not all, of the meat in your diet, because everybody's eating a little bit too much of it. Mm-hmm. Replacing that with whole fruits and vegetables and grains, and eating as little processed food as possible, and really taking care of your body and taking responsibility for your health.
Mm.
That reminds me of the chart that we saw earlier, Corinne. We were looking at various pie charts with numbers. You know, there's one for every position, but there was one that showed, there are a lot of them that show how much meat people eat, how much vegetables, fruit, grains, but there was a chart of the U.S. diet that was particularly troubling. There was this biggest wedge was 66%, and it was none of the above. It was processed foods. Mm-hmm. And then there were little tiny slivers of fruit, vegetable, and grains, and a little bit of meat. I mean, that is the biggest problem. But, you know, we really do have to pay attention to what it is we're putting in our body. It's the fuel that makes us run.
But if we do choose to eat meat, I mean, there's probably healthy meat options versus non-healthy meat. I mean, I don't go to the fast food restaurants, but I do have my bacon from it's smoked from a particular store here. I know there's no chemicals in it, et cetera. And
don't, unless you unless you've taken that animal's life yourself and you've raised it yourself. You actually don't know for sure. The regulations in this country, I believe, are not nearly as strong as they should be. So you actually don't, unless you actually meet
rancher.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
But Corinne, I want to hear your take on
meat. If you know your family farm that you source your meat, and you feel very comfortable with their practices, then I think that's one way to know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree with you, Leslie, that The average American eats too much meat, but meat can be a really healthy component of people's diets if it's sourced properly.
Mm-hmm.
Because before we even take a bite, that first bite, there are so many toxins and constituents that find their way into the human ecosystem from improper farming practices.
Even in the store when it says grass-fed beef, I mean, when you have that special segment where you're paying a little extra for it, you still think that may not be totally healthy, or unless you know the
cow.
To know the cow. And
well, it's best to know where your cow comes from and to feel really comfortable with the farm's practices. But grass-fed, fully grass-fed, 100% organic meat is just the only choice. It's the 1% of beef in America, but it's really the one that we should be sourcing.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about something earlier on when we spoke on the telephone about some difference in terms of the chemical composition between that pasture-raised animal and a CAFO, the concentrated animal feeding operations. It's a word I could barely pronounce, but it had to do with sort of the stress levels and the impact on the body.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting concept called xenohormesis.
And there we go. Someone could say that, Joe.
Right, so xeno in Greek means stranger, and it's the strange signaling that happens within the animal's flesh. So these compounds are integrated, whether they're from pesticides, antibiotics. The sum total of that stressed animal's life that then is integrated into the flesh of, and the systems of the humans that eat it. And so it's these scrambled signals that we're getting. And the research is very new on this, but it's going to be really interesting as we understand. It makes so much sense that would be the case. And there's been some studies that I've seen that I could share later.
From a human development standpoint, I mean, we're not the only animals that eat other animals, right? I mean, a lot of animals do eat other animals.
You know that remark about the canines, and I mean, humans have canines, and we're supposed to be tearing the flesh of animals. We actually don't. Animals that tear the flesh of other animals, canines are actually attached in their nasal cavities into their skulls. Ours are not.
You mean our canine teeth we're talking about?
Our canine teeth.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, but you know what puzzles me? I guess apes and gorillas are vegetarian. Look how
they're vegans.
Look how strong they are. And horses, you know. So, you know.
And cows.
I wanted to follow up on something else. Sorry. Sorry, Joe.
I'm just saying.
Corinne just raised something about the antibiotic use and antibiotic. You didn't say antibiotic resistance, but that's sort of the follow-up to the antibiotic use that is pretty prevalent in the concentrated animal, conventional ranching. Well, I guess not even ranching, it's sort of concentration camps for animals. Okay, so tell me what you know about that. Tell me what about that. What's the problem with the antibiotic use in terms of the animals and human health?
Right, so, well, antibiotic resistance is the ability of pathogenic organisms, pathogenic bacteria, to actually morph through various ways into forms that are impervious to the drugs that we've developed to treat them. And that is a huge problem. So the most recent evidence I found on that was 2011, where we had 2 million cases of antibiotic resistance in America, resulting in 23,000 plus deaths. So this is a problem that if we look at the extrapolation of this data and this is 5 years old, we're being faced with an onslaught of E. coli, like E. coli 157, we've heard that in the news. MRSA, which is methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, C. difficile, Salmonella. So all these very, very virulent pathogens that we have no drugs to treat. And where are they coming from? Well, when we think about the fact that 70% of the antibiotics in America are fed to our animals, and then they make their way into the animal, it's on the meat. It's in the excretions of the animals, which are then spread as quote-unquote fertilizer onto our crops. And so in the case a few years ago of E. coli 157, that was a spinach crop. And so it was the output of these poisons that are being spread as fertilizer, which is really, really concerning to me.
And this is a big issue because we really don't have any antibiotic R&D in the pipeline right now. We're very much behind. We're at the tip of the iceberg of this problem, and I think that's right. What I've read is consistent with what you said, that this really does seem to be coming in large part from these concentrated animal feedlots, and you know, we have to start paying attention. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Not a problem. Anyway, we're coming up on our break right now. But thank you to Corinne Bush with the American College of Nutrition, Leslie Dursel, vegan chef. And I'll be back with Michelle Lirac right after these words.